Shalom, everyone. On Yahweh Yahweh, we're going to have an overview of Yahweh's Word. Now here's Lindy Hearn. Are you a vessel of honor? A vessel of love?
I know that it must hurt how I fall, how I turn. Even at my best, I am so hollow. I know I fool myself, how I run, how I fail. I always try to lead when I should follow. But if I ask for bread, would you give me stone? I came to you an orphan, you took me as your own. The love of a father. I give to you myself, what it's worth, I can't tell. I want to understand your love and kindness. It's not an easy time, no simple words, no simple rhymes. Oh, guide me from this weary road of blindness. But if I ask for bread, would you give me a stone? I came to you an orphan, you took me as your own. But if I ask for a friend, would you give me strength? I came to you an orphan, you took me as your own. The love of a father. The love of a father. The love of a father. The love of a father.
Shalom, everyone. The love of a father. 1982 from Lindy Hearn. L-I-N-D-Y. Lindy Hearn. And the album A Vessel of Love. What a beautiful song that is. Going to Jeremiah chapter 2 as we have an overview of Yahweh's word today. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. Jeremiah 2. This is from the King James Version. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Yahweh, I remember thee, the kindness of your youth, the love of your espousals, when you went after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was set apart unto Yahweh, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith Yahweh. Hear the word of Yahweh, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith Yahweh, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far away from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? And that was verse 5. And then verse 11. Has a nation changed their Elohim? Elohim, which are not Elohim, but my people have changed their esteem for that which does not profit. Be astonished, heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith Yahweh, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Now, who is that? Of course, that's the Son of Yahweh, the fountain of living waters. And have hewn them out of cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. There's very symbolic language there, using the idea of a cistern, something that would hold water, but it cannot, because they are so fruitless, so useless. And Israel, who is that? That's most of the people in the world, as we can demonstrate from Scripture. I think Ephesians, but we'll go now to verse 21. Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take you much soap, yet your iniquity is marked before me, saith Yahweh the Mighty One. Verse 23. How canst thou say, I am not polluted. I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley, know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary, traversing her ways. A wild ass, used to the wilderness, that snuffed up the wind at her pleasure and her occasion, who can turn her away. All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her mouth they shall find her. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou said, there is no hope. No, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. So that's a portion of that in Jeremiah 2. Then verse 20, rather 34. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of thy souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these. So it was so apparent. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn away from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. What do you gad about? Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Yet thou shalt go forth from him, and thy hands upon your head, for Yahweh has rejected thy confidence, and thou shalt not prosper in them. They say, chapter 3, verse 1, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's wife, shall he return unto her again? Shall not the land be greatly polluted, if that were to be done? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me again, saith Yahweh. So she departed because of uncleanness, but Yahweh is willing to give us unmerited favor, to give us that special mercy. And he wants us to come back to him. So I'm reading from one of the old studies, Bondage, New World Order, and redoing this a little bit here in the year 2013 for you on the Sabbath day. And we're ready to serve Yahweh in the Spirit and in his Word. We love Yahweh, and thus we desire to obey his Word, all the Scriptures, Hallel Yahweh. And there is much idolatry in the area where I live, the local university there, making an idol out of the ducks and so on, on their hats, their banners, the buildings, and car antennas and T-shirts. What if some of those fans, sports fans, were believers? Where was the banner about Yahweh on their T-shirts, their car antennas, the buildings and hats and things in the mercy, in the way, in the stores? They say, leave us alone, but protect us. Protect us. Protect the poor children in Haiti. Where did you go when that happened, Yahweh? They mock Yahweh. We pray to the King of Kings, and some of us don't get an answer. We pull down on the rope from heaven. We ring the bells. We demand that he carry us all through this land. And then only once a week we come to Sabbath service and look up and say, thanks. Now where is the rest of the stuff that you promised us? Jeremiah 23:27 says, or perhaps backing up, I have dreamed, I have a dream, I have a dream. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal, or Lord. The prophet that is a dream, let him tell a dream, and that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith Yahweh? Is not my word like a fire, saith Yahweh, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith Yahweh, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith Yahweh, that use their tongues and say, Yahweh saith, or he saith. So there's many false prophets abounding in assemblies around the world. And Yahweh says, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith Yahweh, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith Yahweh. So there's a bit of background there, and and what's going on in the world today is it's not all bad, and it's not all good either. But I would that you'd read the whole chapter there of Jeremiah 23. He talks about the righteous branch in verse 5, Jeremiah 23, or Jeremiahu. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Talking about the future coming of Messiah, 2000, actually not future for us, so that was 2,000 years ago. Well, it is future. Yahweh will come, Yahusha the Messiah, rather, will come the second time. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. Is that the case today? No, they're not dwelling in safety. Not as a whole. They've been kicked out of here and kicked out of there. So, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called Yahweh Tzidkenu, or Yahweh our righteousness. Oh, yes, but you know, it's such a light thing to some that, you know, to get the particulars, get specifics from Yahweh's word, but, we're very, very careful about that. He said again, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? But we should seek him with our whole heart and mind. Seek for the ancient paths before man messes it up, and Jews mess it up. They have their Torah reading for the week that's not necessarily appropriate for that time. It needs to apply. It needs to be applicable to what's going on in our lives, in the assembly out there. Not just reading some genealogies or going back to kindergarten, always dwelling in the wilderness with the children of Israel. We need to go on and study all of the Word, all the Torah, not just Genesis and first part of Exodus. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith Yahweh, stand you in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Okay, we're going to Jeremiahu, or Jeremiah 17, and verse 5, thus saith Yahweh, cursed be the man that trusts in man, and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from Yahweh. Yes, where is our trust today? Some trust in chariots, trust in horses, but we will remember the name of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh, cursed be the man that trusts in man, and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from Yahweh, for he'll be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see where good comes. But he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in Yahweh, and whose hope Yahweh is. So we got the good and the bad there, it was the bad first, and then the good man. For the person who trusts in Yahweh, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreads out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sits on eggs and hatches them not, so he that gets riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our set-apart place, our Mekodesh, the Hebrew word Mekodesh, or some say sanctuary, which is not the right word there, because it's taken from a pagan origin. Verse 13, O Yahweh, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken Yahweh, the fountain of living waters. So there that goes along with the first passage we quoted there in Jeremiah 2. Another verse about the heart is Proverbs 28:26, if you're interested there. Now, about the Sabbath here in Jeremiah 17:21, that's verse 21. Thus saith Yahweh, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do any work, but hallow you the Sabbath, or rather set apart you the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. And then, we ought to be bringing the sacrifices of praise unto Yahweh in his house. Verse 27, but if you will not hearken unto me to set apart the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. That reminds me of when the temple was destroyed there in A.D. 70. A big tragedy. And a lot more than just human lives can be lost, too, or the possessions. And I'm thinking right now about many Sabbath keepers recently during the summer. They've been taking Sabbath days off. Some of the leaders take the Sabbath off and close down the assembly. Oh, that is not right, folks. I know it's possible to have a group of people during the summertime when it's not even a feast day to go out somewhere and hold a service out there. You might want to go out, for example, go out to camping and have two or three or more gathered in Yahweh's name as a set apart convocation, and sit around the table there for a couple of hours and not only just study the Torah reading, but study something applicable to your life, how to grow, how to love Yahweh more, how to stir up the spirit. But we have a miracle. We have miracles all the time. Friends, miracles do not authenticate that you are the true religion, the true faith. They do not authenticate your belief. Winston Churchill even said, over in England, he said, you stumble on the truth. You pick yourself up, you dust yourself off, and then you wander off. Where is the truth? Thank you, Winston Churchill, former Prime Minister of England. I think he said a lot of other things, too, that would that were good. 2 Kings 20, we shall die, it says here. So the scriptures are going to tell us that if we reject Yahweh's word, Yahweh will reject us. We have rejected his word, his Ten Commandments, his Torah, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Or if you want to say the Torah is all the scripture, all the way up through and to the end of the book of the Revelation. That's the living Torah. But I'm looking, as I speak here on Yahweh, for 2 Kings 20. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said, thus saith Yahweh, set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto Yahweh, saying, I beseech thee, Yahweh, I remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I don't think I've walked with a perfect heart. How could anybody say that? But, let's just say near perfect anyway. Maybe that's closer to the truth, because not even Hezekiah would have done that. The only one that did was the Messiah. It came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, and the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of the people, thus saith Yahweh, the mighty one of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up unto the house of Yahweh. My, my, my. And I will add unto thee, unto thy days, 15 years, and I'll deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Wow. And then there's the sun going back by 10 degrees, and In verse 20, the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Yes, they are. That's in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 30. Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh, his son, reigned in his stead. Very fine. We're kept by the Spirit to keep Yahweh's word, to keep the Torah. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us about favor only and how works fit in. We learn about favor and works, favor and law, favor and love. Matthew 4:4 and Deuteronomy 8. Man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. I am to live as the word says, as Isaiah 28 says, to live line upon line and precept upon precept. According to the covenant is the main thing that we are to be doing here. The new covenant in Hebrews 10:16 or Jeremiah 31. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yahweh. I'll put my Torah into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. You know, he's going to write them in our minds so we can forget them and not do them? No. No, that's absurd. The Torah, or the Pentateuch, is considered to be the first five books of Scripture, as y'all know, y'all. And now, to begin that dreaded taboo subject of the Torah, I'd like to start out in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5, therefore my people are gone into captivity. This is verse 13 and verse 24. My people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Verse 24, as the fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the Torah of Yahweh of hosts and despised the word of the Pure One of the Hebrews. Who is the Pure One of the Hebrews? That's the Son of Yahweh. That's Yahusha. Because it says about him in Isaiah, it talks about the Son here in Isaiah 9:7. Praise Yahweh. Thank him for the power of the Spirit here. Of the increase of his government, you know, the laws. The evangelifishes say, you know, no law. But the increase of his government and peace is shalom. Oh, everybody wants that. There shall be no end. Of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end. Without his form, without his word, you have no shalom, no peace to look forward to, even if you think you're doing good now. But, you know, to show you the goal of keeping Yahweh's covenant, being grafted into the good olive tree, keeping his commands, his decrees, the Sabbath, the feast days, the eternal Torah, and they weren't changed to make our lifestyle more convenient. He didn't change tabernacles to Thanksgiving and moved all his permanent feasts to summer camp time. No, and that's correct, that he didn't change that. He doesn't want us to keep April Fool's Day, for crying in a bucket. No, we're not supposed to keep that. We're supposed to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so then we study a lot. We study his word to find out what he does want us to do. So in Isaiah 24, verse 5, that's Isaiah 24, 5, the earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Now why is the earth defiled? Because they have transgressed the laws, or the Torah. They have changed the ordinance. They've broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. So true bondage is not in obeying the Torah, but it is the repercussion from disobeying the Torah. And the Protestant pastor will not begin at the beginning there in the book of Genesis, but he'll rush to the book of Galatians and try to do away with so many contorted gyrations, and try to use some of other Paul's letters to falsely accuse Yahweh's Torah as being Jewish and ceremonial, the Levitical law, the sacrificial law, and so to attempt to alter the basics in the word of the Torah. But love is magnifying Yahweh in our heart, and in our flesh. Obeying the Torah and obeying the Word, not just these laws by Yahusha, the Son, given to Moses, but the entirety of Scripture. Yes, the entirety. And there's no future Scripture, by the way. People can't be inspired to add to the Word. This prophesying thing has gone too far in that area there. The gift of prophecy doesn't mean that we supplant the Word, we substitute the Word and make it say something different than it does. I recommend, first of all, just following the Scriptures and trying to get together with people who believe that way according to the harmony of Scripture. So that's the way I think it should be done anyway. And the house churches start developing. The only problem with that is then there's no discipline and people... I have to take this rabbit trail because I've seen this done. Tolerating people drinking beer during the service. If that were a Catholic place or whatever, Protestant or Evangelifish, they would not allow the drinking of beer during a service. 1 Corinthians 5:7, get the leaven out of our lives. Yes, therefore let us keep the feast of unleavened bread, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You need to walk on pure ground, set apart by Yahweh, walking in the Spirit, empowered by His Spirit and in His love. Malachi chapter 2 now, Malachi, which is, I think it's the last book of in the older Scriptures, Malachi 2:7, more powerful than our own words, and especially of our own understanding or misunderstanding. Malachi 2:7-9. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the Torah at his mouth. For he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. But you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the Torah law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts, or Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. That was Malachi 2:7. Verse 9 of Malachi, therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but you have been partial in the Torah. Amos 5:18, another warning. It's good to have warning ministries and discernment ministries. I like that. Amos 5:18. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh. Yeah, when is the second coming? Wow, he's coming in next year. He's coming today. Woe unto you that desire the day of Yahweh. To what end is it for you? The day of Yahweh is darkness and not light. Shall not the day of Yahweh be darkness and not light? Even very dark and no brightness in it? For you? Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be darkness for those who are not serious and diligent. If we're just playing church, what's the point of even having an assembly if we're not going to get serious about it? I could read the Word. We can all read the Word. We don't have to have our hands laid on to us, hands laid on by the elders in order to stand up and read some Scripture. And a little bit of discernment ministry there, a little bit of exhortation ministry. Let's get out there. And not only in the streets, but door to door with our friends, with those in the assembly. Let's get excited about Yahweh. Not about this rapture thing. The rapture thing is mostly a hoax there, thinking that people are going to disappear off the face of the earth in a split second. But there is a second coming going, though. There is a little bit of truth in that. But the trumpet will sound, and first the dead and Messiah will rise. And the patriarch David, will he already be up there dancing in a loincloth up in heaven? No, it says Acts 2:29. David is currently dead. He's passed away. He's waiting for that resurrection. Let's go back to a Hosea now. Hosea, can you see it? No, knock that off. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. So we are destroyed every day. We're into this bondage here. Things go on. You know, we've still got the weeds to pull out in the garden there, the curse of Adam. the sinful nature, that we've got to let that get stripped away by the Spirit of Yahweh. My people destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, because thou hast rejected the Torah and knowledge, I will also reject thee. Or maybe you have rejected the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 14. But whatever it is, if you've rejected it, you're rejecting knowledge. You've rejected the foot washing during Yahweh's Passover meal. Or you've rejected something else, you know. I don't know what it is. But he says, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the Torah of Yahweh, or the law of Yahweh. Yeah, law in English there. I will also forget thy children. And then turn ahead there in 6, 7, that's chapter 6. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me, Yahweh says. Chapter 8 now of Hosea. I have written to him the great things of my Torah, but they were counted as a strange thing. Back to chapter 6. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. They have dealt treacherously against me. Chapter 8, 12. I have written to him the great things of my Torah, but they were counted as a strange thing. If you've already discovered the beauty and power of Yahweh's word, you do not need to teach them to yourself, except only daily, and except to confirm about the scriptures, that they are actually saying what they say. And, well, people object to any form of religion, but we do have to have discipline, and we can check with Yahweh's word, Exodus 20, Exodus 21 to 23. We can check his Torah in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy to find out the proper order of things and behavior and in our lives, what we should do, what we should not do. And we can also find that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, and the book of Luke, the book of Acts, book of Paul's letters and Revelation, book of Hebrews, Jude, Peter. We need to read them all, don't we? And James, don't forget that. I don't care what Martin Luther said about the book of James. And who is Messiah? From the article, Messiah and the Name, on the first page at the top, from Acts chapter 7, 38. It says about the Messiah, this is he that was in the assembly in the wilderness with the messenger which spake to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Verse 45, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Yahusha into the possession of the Gentiles. They said to Messiah in John 20:28, the apostle said, my master and my Yahweh. It should be Yahweh there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 through 4, 1 Corinthians 10:4, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all immersed unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. Of course, in the modern versions it used the improper word Christ there, but it should be the rock was Messiah, from what we studied. Hebrews 8 says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand, I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yahweh. So that was Hebrews chapter 8. You can also find that in Hebrews 10, verse 16. Isaiah 9:6. So these are, I believe all these verses are talking about the Messiah. 1 Corinthians 10. Acts 7:38 that we did earlier, a moment ago. Hebrews 8, about the covenant. So it was Messiah. It was the Son who was speaking there and gave us the covenant. Isaiah 9:6 tells us about the Son, that he was about to become the Messiah given to us. For unto us a child is born, Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty Yahweh, the Everlasting Father. So even the son here, to us, the son is called Father, according to Isaiah 9:6, or Yeshayahu 9:6. Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with right ruling from henceforth even forever. The zeal or ardor, A-R-D-O-R, ardor of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. It's all Isaiah 9 there, verse 6. And Jeremiah 11, another messianic verse, but O Yahweh of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Jeremiah 17:10, I, Yahweh, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. 2 Peter, or 2 Kepha, 1, portion says, and our deliverer, or Savior, Yahusha. In 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy great is the secret of reverence. Yahweh was manifest in the flesh, declared right in the spirit, seen of messengers, preached unto the nations, or preached unto the Gentiles or nations, believed on in the world, and received up into esteem. Or, you know, instead of using the word glory, I change that to esteem. And that should be legitimate to make that change. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed expectation and esteemed appearance of the great Creator and our Deliverer, Messiah, or Yahusha Mashiach. Looking for the blessed expectation, the blessed hope, and esteemed appearance of the great Creator and Deliverer. So according to many scriptures, that Messiah, the Son of Yahweh, is the Creator of all things. Hebrews chapter 1, for example. And Colossians 1, verse 2, the second part of verse 2. Favor to you and peace from Yahweh our Father and the Master Yahusha, Messiah. Colossians 1, verse 2. And then to John, Yochanan 5:20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself does. And greater works than these he is going to show him, in order that you marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and makes alive, the Father raises the dead and makes alive, even so the Son makes alive whom he wishes. That was John 5, verse 20 there. Way up to Revelation. Revelation 2:21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the assemblies shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Hebrew will be a pure language there. Zephaniah 3:9. Oh, some will say, oh, it's Jewish. For then I will turn to the people a pure language, which they may all call upon the name of Yahweh, to serve him with one consent. Salvation is of the Jews. John 4:22. So he, the Messiah, is our everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What were all those other titles there in Isaiah 9:6? Wonderful, he's Counselor. So even the Counselor, which is supposed to be, you know, we've come to believe that the Counselor is the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, but it says that unto us a child is born, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yahweh, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And we read that. So, and that Hebrew will be a pure language. He, the Messiah, is to be praised. common word worship there that we don't use that too often. We've been advised against that word, but anyway, he is to be praised, so hope you don't have any problem with that. Matthew 2:11. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Miriam, his mother, and fell down and worshiped, or rather praised him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they weren't exchanging presents, like the common tradition there at the winter solstice. When they opened their treasures, they presented, and it wasn't their treasures, their treasures, of course, it belonged to them, but they were presenting him. They weren't giving gifts to themselves. They were giving it, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. This is in Matthew 8:2. Behold, there came a leper and praised him, saying, Yahosha, if thou wilt, thou canst make me, you can make me whole. Or rather, you can make me clean, the leper said there in Matthew 8:2. Matthew 28:9-17. And so they went to tell his emissaries or disciples, behold, Messiah met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and praised him. Verse 17, when they saw him, they praised him, but some doubted. Now, I will challenge anyone to say that when I'm standing in eternity and you're standing there in paradise next to Yahweh, that no one will grab you by the feet and praise you. Now, they're only going to praise the Father and the Son. We are only going to praise Him. We're not going to praise each other as some kind of Elohim. So we read from Matthew 2:11, Matthew 8:2, and Matthew 28:9. Then to the book of Mark. And I'm going to quote now from Mark 5:6. And always, night and day, Messiah, he was in the mountains. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. That wasn't Messiah. That was this man who was full of demons. But when he saw Messiah afar off, he ran and praised him. So there it is again, Messiah being praised. And so he was released of those evil demons there. Messiah healed him, cast all those demons out there. And he can make us as white as snow and cast out any sin, sinful nature, and so on. He'll make us perfect, but it, you know, seems like a lifetime. Mark 15:19, and they began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, praised him. Yeah, the Roman leaders, they weren't too good there, but they did praise him, didn't they? They weren't very good to him. Not a very good host. Mark 16:19. So then after Yahusha had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of Yahweh. Then we'll go to the book of Acts 2. Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. It says here in English, L-O-R-D, but whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Actually, we know that to be the Messiah, but it said there in Isaiah that his name shall be called Yahweh, didn't it? His name shall even be called Yahweh, among other names, such as Yahusha the Messiah, and other titles, such as Savior, Redeemer, Deliverer, but not a whole bunch of names, not a whole bunch of made-up names or borrowed names, but just the scriptural names that the scripture tells us, not ones that we make up or borrow and think it is. Of course, some people don't think that Yahusha the Messiah is the Messiah, the Savior. Some people in the Messianic community now, I don't know if they came from the Witnesses or where, or some unbeliever somewhere. It's, somebody said, "Well, I have 600 proofs that he is not he's not equal to the Father." But we read in Scripture there, and Ephesians and throughout, that he thought it not robbery to be equal with the Father. Okay, 3:16. Did we do Acts 3:16? And his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yet the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So Peter here is, Peter, I believe, is preaching there and telling us to have faith in him. "They killed the Prince of Life, whom Yahweh has raised from the dead, whereon you are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong." This healed this person here. Hallel, praise Yah. And then Acts 4:12. How about 4:11? "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And that was 4, verses 11 and 12. Acts 5:28, saying, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey Yahweh rather than men." Or it said there, G-O-D, in the King James. "We ought to obey Yahweh rather than men." Hallel. Praise to Yahweh. And then 22:16 of Acts, even though there's, chapter 8, verse 12 and 13, they were immersed into the name of Yahusha. Verse 12 there, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Yahweh and the name of Yahusha, they were immersed, both men and women. Simon himself believed also, and when he was immersed, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done." And now, here on Yahweh, going to 22:16. "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be immersed and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of Yahweh." Then Romans 10:9 in Romans, "If we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Yahweh is the King of Kings, that he's the Savior." Okay. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth," it says L-O-R-D there, and then the Messiah's name. "If we confess with our with thy mouth, Yahweh, Yahusha, and shall believe in your heart that Yahweh had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Praise Yah. Oh, let's get this sin out of our life. Let the Ruach HaKadosh dwell with us and cause spirit-wrought righteousness. That's 1 John 3, that whoever commits sin is of the devil. Now, I would think that would mean, I would have to interpret that to mean that whoever makes a practice of committing sin is of the devil. It doesn't just mean that if I inadvertently commit a sin, that I'm always of the devil. Although my mother, no, she didn't say that either. But some people probably would say that, Stephen Yah is of the devil there. By keeping Yahweh's proper name and keeping his commandments, his Sabbath day. They think that that's wrong, that that's sin to keep the Sabbath, because they've been taught that way by false preachers who probably don't teach that intentionally. It's just their way they were brought up in the seminary. They think that that's the right way to do, is preach against the commandments. Preach against the names. Preach against the law of clean and unclean. Preach against keeping the feast days. Preach for, they want to preach for the pagan holidays. A lot of these pagan holidays have come to be sounding like they're so innocent. So that's deceiving there when they become so tame and innocent. But we're really keeping a really sinful, disgusting, abominable holiday. I don't even keep the holidays of man if they, come up with the 4th of July. Well, I keep 4th of that month, but I also keep the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, and so on, all the way through the 30th or 31st or whatever month you're in. I keep every day. I praise Yahweh every day. John 5:43 says, "The Messiah said, I am come in my Father's name. You received me not. John 12:28, Messiah said, Father, magnify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both magnified it and will magnify it again, or esteem it again. They use the word glorified there, which is a corruption. But I have magnified it and will magnify it again, I think is more correct. Okay. Isaiah 43:3 says, and it's speaking of the Messiah, For I am Yah, thy mighty one, the pure one of Israel, thy Savior. Chapter 11. Or no, excuse me. 43:11. I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. Hallel. That's from the book of Isaiah. I, even I, am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. Or I, even I, am Yah. 52:6, Isaiah. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. Isaiah 60, verse 16. And thou shalt know that I, Yah, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So there it says it again. Now, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. I just got them all written out for you. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. And we're going to go about an hour, I believe. Almost there. Jeremiah 20, I will not speak his name anymore. The prophet Jeremiah didn't want to speak his name anymore. And that's what's happening today with most people. They don't want to speak his true name. They want to put in substitutes or use Hashem, which means the name of. The name of what? The name of who? Okay, Joel 2:32. So that was, Joel 2:32. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as Yahweh has said, and in the remnant whom Yahweh shall call. So we went from Jeremiah 20 to Joel 2, now to Hosea 13:4. Yet I am Yahweh, thy mighty one from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no other Elohim but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I hope I'm using that word correctly, Elohim there. But, and then I took out the gods and stuff like that, that we shouldn't be using those, and put in Mighty One instead. Yet I am Yahweh, the Mighty One, from the land of Egypt. Thou shalt know no Elohim but me, for there is no Savior beside me. To repeat for you there. So that's, wow, I think that's about it there. But even in the Psalms, Psalm 102, even the heathen shall fear the name of Yahweh, and all the kings of the earth shall fear thy esteem. Psalm 102:15. Psalm 22, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. That's Psalm 22:22. A psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. I will extol thee, O Yahweh, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Verse 2, O Yah, my mighty one, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Yah, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto Yah, O you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his pureness, or his separation, of his beauty, would be even a better word than I use there, at the remembrance of his pureness and beauty. For his anger endureth for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Looking for the morning of our life there. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. In 44:20, if we have forgotten the name of our Maker, or stretched out our hands to a strange Elohim, shall not Yahweh search this out, for he knows the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. I think that's an expression there, idiom, we're killed all the day long. It doesn't really mean that we're, you know, we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, we are an offering for Yahweh, a sweet savor. And as a sidelight, I need to tell you that I'm kind of struggling with this trying to get along here. I'm going to have surgery here soon. Have a little a new shock absorber, new shocks and struts there from the tire store. No, going to have a what do you call it, hip joint replacement. So that, very soon, and I've been preparing for that, and it's been getting me down for years. So finally, I'll be released from a painful hip, and I'll be able to walk normally again. Maybe. Well, we'll see how it works out. Hopefully, I'll still be alive anyway after the surgery. That's the main thing. We want to keep our eyes looking up, or our, you know, our spiritual eyes looking up for Yahweh, to Yahweh, and to His Word. Things, as I mentioned, aren't always that smooth. Not for me, I know, but you know, it's good to be always in a orientation of thankfulness, to be truly grateful for everything that Yahweh has done for us. Hallah, Yahweh. And, you know, I can ask Him all day for this and that and intercede for this person or that, and I may or may not see those things happen in my lifetime. And my email, oh, I didn't say that, was StephanYah@yahvehyahweh.name, N-A-M-E. There you go. I also want to thank everybody out there, that a few anyway, who have written me or some way or another gotten in contact. There's been a couple, and I really appreciate you people from South Africa, and Eddie up there in New York, whom I haven't heard from in probably 6 months, but sometimes it's just because he's really walking with Yahweh. He doesn't need me for anything right now. He has Yahweh to trust, and praise Yah for that. He doesn't need another man to help him along. Yahweh is helping him without my help. He doesn't need me there. But anyway, I'm thankful for you all, and that Yahweh will use you, as well as I hope He's using me here to encourage other people and teach them as much as possible. Hallel. Thank you for joining me, Lindy Hearn from 1982. So we'll greet you now with a love and a praise with Yahweh, and a Hallel Yahweh, with a Maranatha, Yahweh's coming soon, and with a great big Shalom, my friend, until we meet again. Shalom, shalom.
Send me to places I haven't thought of. Lord, can you make me a vessel of love? The wind is high, my sails, they are weak. I get so afraid I can't even speak. You're in control, it's your peace I should feel. Nothing can harm me when you're at the wheel. Vessel of love, oh vessel of love, Lord, can you make me a vessel of love? Take me to places I've never thought of, Lord, can you make me a vessel of love? Vessel of love.